Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Happy New Year and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to have you with us as we begin a brand new year. It doesn't feel like 2019. Somehow it doesn't. Well, it usually takes me 2, 3, 4 months to start really feeling like I'm in the new year. Hope your celebrations have all gone well. Hope you're recovered from whatever happened last night. This hour we present you with, what's special about being Catholic? Well, one of the things that makes Catholic living and Catholic life particularly fruitful and particularly full of blessings and glories is the liturgical year, living the liturgical life of the Church. Catholicism is the liturgical form of Christianity. And so we talk about that as we enter the new year, because maybe you'll consider being more deeply associated with the liturgy, maybe living it more fully as the year goes on. Our guest this hour is Kendra Tierney. Kendra, her latest book from Ignatius Press is The Catholic All-Year Compendium, Liturgical Living for Real Life. Her blog is called Catholic All Year. Kendra Tierney, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you very much. Am I correct in saying that the liturgical year is one of the great gifts and blessings, and it's just full of gifts and blessings for Catholics?
It really is. It's been a real gift and blessing for our family. It's just it really has allowed us to find joy and catechism and rhythm and, you know, all of those things in such a fun way again and again through the years.
So today is a solemnity, the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God.
Solemnity and Holy Day of Obligation in many places.
And so for some people, I have to say, there's a kind of Christianity, and in some cases just kind of bordering on Christianity, where people are flirting with Christianity, where people say, I don't want a church. I just want a relationship with God, or I want the gospel or something like that. And so what is the Catholic Church doing when it's doing things like it does today, having holy days and solemnities and all that?
Well, I think that what the liturgical year can give us is that community, is being able to come together with other Christians all over the world and throughout time to celebrate things that are important to the Church and important pieces of doctrine, but in a way that is, you know, more joyful. That yes, we are to go to Mass today. We have an obligation to go to Mass, but we can also come together and see it in the way that we would see Mother's Day or something, that will just take a little bit of time out of our day and just acknowledge Mary as our mother. And we really like to focus our celebrations around the table. So we'll have a special meal, we'll have a dessert, we'll invite people over, and we'll add in special prayers, we'll have a conversation. But what it really does is we don't want to be living our faith in isolation. We don't want to feel like we're the only crazy people trying to do this. We're the only family that's trying to live this way. And the liturgical year really allows us to do this together.
Yeah. So the for a child, and you have a whole collection of your own.
Yeah, I got a whole passel of them.
I was gonna say, you have a baseball team.
Yes.
But for a child, and I remember this growing up as well, the liturgical year is kind of your introduction into even being a Christian. It's like a doorway that it keeps opening throughout the year. Okay, this is what we do and this is what we believe. And have you found that with your kids?
Absolutely. And the whole thing, really, this whole liturgical living thing, which has become such a big passion for me and such a part of my life, it really started because my husband and I decided that we wanted to have a strong family culture and a strong Catholic identity.
Yeah.
And we wanted to require things that were unusual for our culture of our kids. We wanted, of course, to go to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation. We also wanted to do daily Masses. We wanted our kids to be able to sit through the rosary, observe fasts. So we were sort of focusing on how are we going to make that work in our family. And then I started realizing that that was an incomplete picture of what the Catholic faith really is, that it's also this joy and these celebrations and this sense of humor, right? How, like, we have some really macabre patron saints of things that that are really funny. You can tell that medieval Catholics had a sense of humor about this.
Yeah.
So adding in these traditional celebrations that have been, there are foods that have been eaten in honor of a saint for 1,000 years. And so to introduce those things into our home really felt like we were creating that balance where we had high expectations, but we also wanted our kids to know that there's this center of joy in our faith, that it's also fun and it's fun and it's funny. And by, you know, having my kids are from 1 to 16. And so as we come back through the liturgical year again, you know, year after year, they're able to gain new insights into it. I'm able to gain new things. They ask me questions and I have to say, I don't know, but I'll find out, you know, and we can, and we have these discussions. We learn about the lives of the saints. We learn about doctrines of the church. We learn about the important times in history of the early church and in the lives of Jesus and the Holy Family. We learn all of those things in a way that does not feel like a lesson. It just feels like dinner table conversation. It's just fun.
Right. We're living this. It's not like sit down and take notes, kids, but we're living this.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're also having a funny dessert. And so they have really positive associations with it.
Can you give me an example? Like what a dessert that goes with a saint? Have you got any like?
Yeah. We have eclairs for the Feast of St. Clair.
Very good. Of course.
We have St. Thomas s'mores. you know, funny stuff like that. Liturgical food puns is really my love language.
Liturgical food puns. Yeah, nice.
So, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, I like to do black and white cookies for her because while she's most famous for living in Maryland, but she was born in New York. So I figure we can go with some New York traditions too. And the black and white cookie looks a lot like her habit.
Oh, okay.
So I like to do that.
Yeah. So it's not just a matter of what's going on in the church. It is a matter for you of what's going on in your home. But that is connected. It's not a disconnected. Oh, these are just our personal traditions. These are, I mean, I imagine the, St. Thomas s'mores is a personal. I don't know of anybody else doing that, but it's connected to the fact that the whole world is celebrating St. Thomas More on that day.
Yes, exactly. There are, for instance, on the Feast of St. Lucy, there are St. Lucy's buns that are traditionally eaten.
Yeah.
On the Annunciation, there is a Scandinavian tradition of eating waffles for on Fat Tuesday, there's a tradition of eating pancakes. So there are things that are older traditions and more worldwide traditions and not just food puns that I made up.
But even the food puns are participating. That's what I'm getting at, is that I think in the modern world, people are like, well, create your own purpose and create your own traditions and all that. And you are doing that, but within a context that connects your children to the wider church.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, you know, it's something that I try to remind myself of, is that the goal for me in liturgical living is to look outward more and more and include people around us, because this really was meant to be done in community. We've been fortunate enough to travel, and on the Feast of St. Anthony in Portugal, it's shut down. The streets are blocked off. There's bunting in the streets. It is a giant party for St. Anthony. So that's what, you know, that's what I would like us to get back to, is celebrating as a parish, celebrating the patrons of our towns, of our country. But the way to start that is with yourself. You know, find out who your patron saint is, find out what your baptism day is, start as an individual, and then we, you know, broaden to our family, we broaden to our neighborhood, or to our parish. And then hopefully we, you know, we'll see this picking up in a larger way, in a way that really builds community. And I keep coming back to it, that allows us to reclaim our cultural heritage, to reclaim, these types of celebrations on a community level.
Kendra Tierney is our guest. Her new book from Ignatius Press is The Catholic All Year Compendium, Liturgical Living for Real Life. Her blog is called Catholic All Year. We're discussing living liturgically throughout the year as we start the brand new year this year. Might be a good time to consider that. Also, January is Pro-Life Month, and we'll be offering great pro-life resources at deep discounts all month long. Just visit the pro-life resource category today at shop.catholic.com. $5 books, Made This Way and Persuasive Pro-Life and Inseparable. All very, very fine books. $5 DVDs, Making the Case for Life, The Case Against Contraception, and lots of other great resources at discount prices. Share your love for life. Pick up these great resources and share that love today. Go to shop.catholic.com to find all of that.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose hell. What God is doing is allowing our free will choice, because we have a choice. We can say yes or we can say no. He never wants us to say no. He always wants us to be in love with him. And people need to understand, after we die, you only got two choices, heaven or hell.
Beauty.
Smoking or non-smoking.
Exactly.
Harold Burke Sivers joins Gloria Purvis and the Morning Glory team Monday, January 14th on EWTN Radio.
Happy New Year. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be with you as the new year begins. And as the new year begins, we're talking a bit about the Catholic liturgical year with Kendra Tierney, who blogs about these things at her blog, Catholic All Year, and who has a brand new book just on this very topic from Ignatius Press, The Catholic All Year Compendium, Liturgical Living for Real Life. You were just saying to me at the break, I was kind of giving all the pro-life resources available for this month. And you said, well, we have a day for that on the Catholic calendar here in the U.S.
We do. Yes. January 22nd is the day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children. And it's an extra day of fasting, an extra voluntary prayer and fasting day that we are presented with by our bishops in order to allow us to, again, come together in community, because we all know that, you know, that this is an issue that almost all of us are praying for individually, but we can come together and offer our prayers together on the same day.
I grew up, Kendra, in the generation that was kind of, we were the children of the Second Vatican Council. I was born in the midst of the Second Vatican Council, and it seems like a lot of what happened in the 70s and 60s, 70s was kind of paring down people's obligations and kind of a lessening of the things that we did, like the holy day, those obligatory days, the days of fasting, the abstinence, and all that kind of thing. And I have a sense that young people now are saying, young people who are starting families or raising families now are saying, well, those things were, we want them back because they actually help families to be connected. There's value in them that maybe wasn't considered at the time they were kind of let go of. Do you have a sense of that, of younger families wanting these things?
Absolutely, I do. I'm not in the habit of bashing bishops or anything, but I will just say that that I think we can handle more than we have been entrusted with as of late. You know, that there used to be 56 days of required fasting, as in like one regular meal and two smaller collations each year.
Yeah.
So it was every day of Lent except Sunday, four sets of three Ember days, the vigils of Christmas, Pentecost, Immaculate Conception, and All Saints Day.
Yeah.
And then since 1966, we have two, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. So I am grateful that they're giving us this this suggested day of January 22nd. But I also, like you were saying, see so many people reclaiming this tool in our toolbox, this way to grow in personal holiness, this way to come together with other Catholics, and to require more of ourselves. And there are creative ways to observe fasts if you're not able to do a traditional fasting from food because of, you know, pregnancy or nursing or you know, chronic illness or something. But coming together and doing this together, doing it as a family, you know, my kids will be there in the kitchen, like trying to weigh exactly half a bowl of cereal, you know, and it's just, again, it's this tool in our toolbox. And I think that there were good reasons to emphasize that personal relationship with Jesus, which is so, so important. But I think that a lot of us are realizing now that the trappings per se, that the abstinence from meat on Friday, the observing fasting days, the observing these, celebrations during the liturgical year, don't take away from our personal relationship. They add to it. They allow us to grow in personal holiness. They allow us to have this culture of Catholicism that helps us all to grow in our personal relationship with Jesus.
Indeed. I have to confess, though, as a child of the Second Vatican Council, 2 days of fasting is hard. I struggle with that. So I don't know if I want 56. I'm a big baby when it comes to that.
But don't you think that if we had 56, it might not be as hard as having two? Is hard.
That's a good
point. You can't remember to do it. Yes. That if we have that, if we flex those muscles, right? That like if you go out and try to run a marathon tomorrow, that would be almost impossible, right? But if you practice and you train for it, then it allows us, it gives us this tool. It allows us to practice and grow in this, you know, spiritual strength.
You didn't sound like you were bashing any bishops, actually, because I do think there's a perfectly reasonable thing of trying to figure out how do we help the lady live their Catholic faith in a world that has changed so much. And certainly everything after the Second World War, as far as the media environment and the and the requirements on families, and also the new things that were opportunities for the, all that. There's like, well, how do we respond to this? And I think I personally would agree with you that it seems to me that it went so far in trying to accommodate people living in a new situation that it took away some of the best parts of the identity of being Catholic, that you stood out a little bit, from people at work or in, you know, in your neighborhood, there was something distinctive about it. And that does seem to me to be missing. People can bring that back. I mean, there's nothing that says you can't observe the fasts and all that. But I would challenge you with this, and you help me with this. So the bishops were trying. It does seem like it all went too far. But the fact is, modern life is very different from medieval life. There are stresses and pulls and strains and worries that didn't exist in an agrarian medieval society. I mean, we don't have to worry about the Vikings coming kidnapping us, but we have other problems. And so how much is it reasonable to ask families to do? I mean, is this just dumping more on families that are terribly, terribly busy?
I don't know. I would always argue that things are bad now and they have also always been bad. Things are good now and they have also always been good. That it's easy to get into this mindset of, oh, our society is so much more difficult now. It has always been really difficult. Maybe we had different things to worry about, but I have to be really careful about, my kids being on the internet, but I really don't have to worry about them getting eaten by wolves in the forest. Yeah. So, it's give and take. It's always going to be something. And so to give ourselves that out, right? That, mm-hmm. And I see this with my kids and myself. If we have high expectations for ourselves, we're going to rise to them. If we have high expectations for our kids, if we tell them, nobody else thinks you can do this, but I think you can, they're going to rise to that. And so the powers that be have been telling us, oh, people used to do this, but you don't have to worry about it. You just take it easy. And I don't think that helps me grow in personal holiness. I think being challenged, I think people believing that I can handle it is what helps me. And of course, there are concessions made and always have been for people who genuinely cannot fast, genuinely cannot get to Mass on a holy day of obligation.
Right.
There are always built in, accommodations for that. So anybody who genuinely can't does not have to. So I'm not trying to pile on people who are in a particular difficult season.
Yeah.
But for those of us like me, who does not happen to be pregnant or nursing right now, who happens to have a pretty cushy life, I think I can handle it.
But Kendra Tierney is our guest. She's the author of The Catholic All Year Compendium, Liturgical Living for Real Life. And in there, answering my challenge, you said growing in holiness. And ultimately, this is, as you said earlier, a toolbox. So how about giving me a little hint? What do I get? And I know that's a very modern question, but what do I get from living the liturgical year with the church?
I think that, lots of things, but for me, something that's been really striking is learning the lives of the saints and the stories behind these feast days. And once you get to know so many different saints, you could never say, this is the one way you get to heaven. This is the one way that the church wants us to be in order to be holy. They're all so beautifully different. There are feisty saints and meek saints. There are rich saints and poor saints, saints who lived in a cave, saints who lived in a palace. I look at my children around the dinner table and they're so quiet. They're so different. I have one, kids that are quiet and kids that are not at all quiet ever. And that's okay. You read you learn about these saint stories and you learn that what God wanted from them was not to try to become someone else. It was to try to be the best version of themselves, to use their gifts and talents to bring about the kingdom. And observing the liturgical year, learning about these saints, even when it's in a silly food-based way, that has been so meaningful to me and to my kids, to understand God doesn't want you to be somebody that you're not. God wants you to be the best you, and that can bring others to God, and that can get you to heaven.
What a beautiful, beautiful lesson. So how do we do it then? How do we, I say, you know what, I was raised a Catholic, but I don't recall us, my family, this is not the case. My family was, we were in church quite a bit. But say I'm one of those people that's, I haven't lived the liturgical year before. I don't even know exactly what these people are talking about. How do I get started?
Yeah. So this is not something that I grew up doing. We were, you know, we went to Mass on Sundays, but I didn't grow up with a family tradition of knowing about the saints or sacramentals or anything like that. So this was just something that slowly developed over many years in our family. And so I would really, really encourage everyone who is just starting out to start really slowly.
Okay.
To focus on things that you're doing anyway that you can sort of tweak to reflect the feast days. So you need a wall calendar or a way to import feast days onto your phone calendar, just so you'll know what feast days are coming up.
Kendra, I'm really sorry to interrupt you. We got to take this break. I want to continue with this about how do we, as Catholic families, start to begin living the liturgical year in a realistic way, a way that actually fits with the way we live our lives today. More with Kendra Tierney right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Aren't faith and reason two separate and distinct kinds of truth? Why do Christians believe in the biblical creation story when science has disproved it? How can the modern world take religion seriously when they oppose scientific advancements like birth control and stem cell research? In 20 Answers, Faith and Science, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, clearing away misconceptions and helping you to understand and explain to your friends and family the complex but ultimately harmonious relationship between religious and scientific truth. 20 Answers, Faith and Science is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy New Year. Hope your New Year's Day is going very, very well. I'm Cy Kellett, the host here at Catholic Answers Live, and our guest this hour is Kendra Tierney, who blogs and writes about the liturgical year and about living liturgically as Catholics. And we're in the midst of the how too. So how do we do this? And you were saying build it up slowly. Why don't we continue with that if we can? And then I've got some specific questions I want to get to with you. But my family, I don't know about this living liturgically thing. I don't know about it seems like medieval Catholicism to me. How do I get started? Where do I begin? And your first tip to us was start slowly. What else?
Yeah. So what really helps me a lot is having a wall calendar. So a lot of parishes give them away, sponsored by funeral homes. That was the first one I ever had. I've since made one.
Yeah. We have a Catholic Answers one.
Okay. Yes. There is a Catholic All Year one as well that's available on my website that has all the days that I saw that I talk about in the book. But I like to be able to look ahead and see what's coming. But as far as for how to start celebrating in a family, even though holy days of obligation, solemnities like today are more important to the universal church, I think it's easiest to start with an inward focus. So start with looking for, finding out patron saints for everyone in your family. I do not have a saint name. Kendra is, there's not yet a Saint Kendra.
I'm not so, sure of that. There might be one.
Not canonized. Exactly.
Fair enough.
There's not yet a canonized a Saint Kendra with a feast day.
Uh-huh.
So I use Saint Joan of Arc, who is my confirmation saint. But so find a patron saint for each of the people in your family, and learn about that saint. You know, write it down and put it in your phone calendar with a reminder a couple of days ahead of time so that you can celebrate that day with a conversation, with a special meal, either something that has to do with the saint, or just let the person who is the special person for the day get to choose whatever meal and dessert that they want. So we call it the three special days in our family. You get your birthday, your name day, and your baptism day. And on those days, you get to choose what we have for dinner, and we have a dessert, and we have a conversation about the saint, about your baptism, about, you know, your childhood. And so starting with those three special days, obviously, you know, you're probably already celebrating your kids' birthdays. If not, go ahead and do that. But also name days. And of course, our baptism day is much more important in an eternal sense than our birthdays.
Right.
So find out what your baptism day is, you know, ask your mom, or just pick a day if there's no way you could find out, and celebrate your kid's baptism day. There's actually an indulgence available for it, for renewing your baptismal vows on the anniversary of your baptism. That's really how where we start in our family, is the three special days. That's what I suggest that people do. And then to start looking at Fridays and Sundays and see those as a different day, a day set apart in each and every week, where Sunday is really that day of joy, that little Easter in every week. And can you use the nice dishes or sit at the dining room table? Can that feel like a celebration every week? And then Friday, again, we're talking about balancing, right? Friday, every Friday is a little good Friday. Are you abstaining from meat? Or if your bishops allow, are you making an alternate sacrifice? Are you aware during your Friday that this is the day that Jesus died for us? And then just choosing different saints' days that speak to you, that your culture, where your family is from, has an association with, the patron saint of your profession, or the patron of your parish, just, you know, finding slowly saints to add in on your calendar with, again, the way we do it is just a meal. My kids want to eat dinner every night. I don't know about yours, but
thus far, I don't think they've missed a night.
Yeah. So we're going to have dinner anyway, but if I plan ahead just a little bit, and really I do not plan ahead a lot on these things, but if I plan ahead a little, I can make that dinner more meaningful. And just adding in these little traditions that I talk about in the book and on my blog. Eventually after looking at those saints that have special meaning to you, that, and sometimes the saints find you, right? So adding those in, and then looking at the solemnities, which are the days that the church says, like today, here's a day that's really important. This is a story we want you to know and understand. We want this to be something that is a part of your life. And that's what the solemnities are. They're the most important feast days of the liturgical year. And so, you know, we want to know what those are. And again, you can do this without a whole lot of advanced planning. We all have our phones in our pocket. We can look up, you know, what's a prayer that goes with this feast day? What's a story of this saint that I can tell my kids? You don't have to plan ahead a whole lot.
So next thing you know, you're living the liturgical year. And these are not terribly complex things to do, do those things, or four or five of those, and you've begun. We spoke about this before, but I wanted to kind of stress it again and get your sense of it, that there, I guess you and I both have the sense that young people, young families, moms and dads, they want more Catholic flavor, not just the basics, but to have a full kind of Catholic flavor in their family, in their raising of their children. But you, when I said that, you mentioned to me about Ember Days, and it gives me a sense that we don't just want – it's not just a way in which we're wanting this. I think we're realizing we need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I really – if you remember back to this summer when the news about the scandals was all over and breaking everywhere – and the Ember Days were coming up, and it was just all over Twitter. All right, let's observe the Ember Days this year. Let's have those days of fasting and reparation. And again, it's a way to do this together, so you feel like you're not alone. The Ember Days aren't just for times of crisis, right? They're four times a year, every year. The next ones coming up are after Ash Wednesday for us now. So it's this, you know, I hope that Twitter will continue to remember the Ember Days and that we can do this, in community.
And, there's a way in which too, that maybe we need to learn the lesson that, praying, fasting, certainly without question, the celebration of the sacraments. These things are not just nice things to do. They actually matter. They have an impact on our own lives, on history, on our communities, and all that. But I feel like sometimes we Catholics in recent decades have forgotten that there's power in these things.
Absolutely. I'm not going to remember it perfectly, but there's that C.S. Lewis quote in the book where he's talking to the devil, the Screwtape letters.
Yeah,
and he says, you know, be sure to convince them that it doesn't matter what they do with their bodies when they pray. And it does. It matters what we do with our bodies. Our bodies are a part of us, and so fasting is a thing that you do with your body. Saying the rosary, touching touching sacramentals, holy water, all of these things that are part of the Catholic tradition, things that we do with our bodies, help us to elevate our thoughts to God.
Yes. And one of the things that probably hurt, and people this was a totally unexpected outcome of many of the kind of stripping of a lot of this liturgical year stuff from people's lives. But one of the unintended consequences, it almost certainly is unintended, is that people who are less educated in the faith, who have only a very limited exposure, say, to catechism classes and all that, tend to fall away from the faith when it doesn't have anything for them to do. This is not to, you know, say it's so great, you know, to be super educated in the faith. Not everybody has to be, but it does mean that we, at our different states of life, we celebrate the faith differently, and we kind of robbed people who, need the experiential side of it because of their upbringing or the limited way they've been educated in the faith.
Absolutely, and I know. For me, as a person who, you know, has educated myself on the faith, I need these things. I'm a person whose, mind is always all over the place, and it's so much easier for me to focus on different parts of our faith in different times of the year. That I'm not good at having just this like perfectly well-rounded, even keel devotion all year long. It helps me so much to have these seasons, season of penance in Lent, this season of joy and celebration in Christmas and Easter, a season of preparation and waiting in Advent, and then, just ordinary time to focus on, on other things. And actually, there are traditional devotions each month that we can focus on, right? So if you say, I have such trouble remembering to pray for the holy souls in purgatory. Well, we can focus on that for 1 month out of the year. We can focus on that in November. And, in our family, we add an extra prayer to the end of grace before meals. We say the eternal rest prayer for that whole month. And so even though, yes, I should be praying for that intention every day, the fact is I don't. And so at least I know that I've really focused on it for 1 month a year, and I'm going to really focus on it for another month next year.
Yeah, right.
So it comes around. It comes around again. And when you've been in a season where you've kind of drifted away from the rosary, well, guess what? Here comes October to remind you to say the rosary again and start over again. Dust yourself off and try again.
Yeah, we're all doing this together. And that you're right. There is something very helpful and supporting in that. I don't have, because I am a person who's completely together, Kendra, and I have no, but not only kidding, I hadn't thought about that, but that is the case. Like you, even if you completely forget about penance being part of the Christian life, Lent's going to come around again and you're going to get the reminder.
Exactly. And isn't 40 days is this perfect time? I just think it's this perfect length of time to try new devotions, to try giving things up that might be a distraction, or you might find that it doesn't really help that much to give that up, to try adding something in. And it's always so hard for me to add in new devotions, to remember to do it. And that 40-day period to try it out and really be diligent about it and see, how does this change my prayer life? How does this change the way I treat the people around me?
Yeah, I agree with you. 40 days is perfect, except I don't agree with you about 20 days in. Then I disagree with you. I always write about then. I'm like, this is just too long. I don't know what God's thinking. Kendra Tierney is our guest. You can find her blog her blog is Catholic All Year, and the book is The Catholic All Year Compendium, Liturgical Living for Real Life. And we'll talk about some of the feast days and things coming up and various celebrations coming up to get you ready for those. But if you're looking for a great way to start the year off, Catholic Answers Magazine delivers all kinds of topical Catholic content into your mailbox every 2 months to give you the facts you need to know about the church in today's world. It's one of the best Catholic publications out there. Right now, when you subscribe, we add on a digital subscription for free. You can read it anywhere on the go. You get that digital subscription. Sign up now at CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to certainly my relationship with Mother Angelica and her teaching me early on that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, you share with them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're taking you through, well, we're encouraging you at the beginning of this brand new year, 2019, to consider living liturgically and living that the liturgical year of the Catholic Church. It is something that certainly I don't think anyone would question in the last 50, 60, 100 years of the Church has bit by bit been chipped away, but there's a hunger for it. And we can probably see in the difficulties the Church now faces, there's not just a hunger for it, there's a need for it, for Catholic people to live as Catholics. And so we have the perfect guest to discuss that. Her blog is Catholic All Year. You can find that on the internets. And her latest book is The Catholic All Year Compendium, Liturgical Living for Real Life. She's got other great books for your kids. Kendra Tierney is our guest. And so let us then get to the practical, if we can. Kendra, sitting here on the first day of the year, looking forward, what's coming up?
All right. Well, I am excited that Epiphany is celebrated everywhere all on the same day this year because Sunday falls on January 6th. So there's no confusion about when Epiphany is.
Nobody has to move the feast.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Epiphany is another big feast day. You know, we know that I think we all know that as Catholics, we're not supposed to put our tree out on the curb today. If you are taking ornaments off of your tree while listening to this, please consider stopping.
Wait until the 6th.
Yes, wait until the 6th. Or, you know, even the 13th is a baptism of the Lord. That's when they take the tree down at the Vatican.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't keep it up till Candlemas because it'll be so dry. Come on.
Yeah, especially in Southern California. It's not going to last till Candlemas.
All right, so Epiphany on the 6th.
Yes. So Epiphany, we do a bunch of stuff for Epiphany that I really enjoy and the kids really enjoy. We always do an Epiphany house blessing, which I don't know if have you seen that where you write in chalk on. Above your door.
Right. We do that here at Catholic Answers. The chaplain does it. He comes around and writes on the Feast of the Epiphany on our doors. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a traditional day that that priests would go to the house, you know, all the houses in their area to bless the house. So if you've got a priest who can come over and do it, that is best. But if you don't, it's a blessing that lay people can do for themselves. So you just write the beginning part of the date and then the letters CMB for Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar.
Uh-huh.
And then the 19. So it would be 20 CMB 19. There are prayers that you can find online that you go through to bless the house. And it's always fun if you've got blessed chalk. If you have a piece of chalk, you can bring it with you to Mass and ask Father to bless it for you and bring home some holy water. My kids really like it when our pious practices end in Daddy winging holy water all over them.
I know. Kids love that.
They really do.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we like to have a king cake for which they're most famous in New Orleans, but I make my own cheater king cake by just putting canned cinnamon roll dough in a bundt cake pan and baking that. And you have to put a little something in it. Could be a little baby Jesus. If it's a plastic baby Jesus, do not bake him in the cake, stick him in after. But you can also do like a metal ring or a bean or something, and then you cut the cake and serve it to everybody in the family. And whoever finds the baby Jesus or the ring or the bean gets to be king or queen for the day and gets to pick what we eat, the activities that we do, generally lord it over everyone.
Nice.
It's fun. Yeah. Kids do like being king.
Yeah, I think the tradition in Mexico, if I'm correct, is that the person who gets it is actually they have to plan the next party. So and that is the best. A Mexican friend told me once that one of the best things about being Mexican is that we have parties to see who's planning the next party. That's a
right.
That's a very festive.
There's a whole king cake season that goes from Epiphany now all the way to Fat Tuesday, and then you're not supposed to have king cakes the rest of the year. So Epiphany kicks off king cake season. So if you are the if you get the item in the cake and are the king of that party, then you have to buy the next king cake for the next party and keep it going all the way through Fat Tuesday.
Nice. I love being Catholic when it's that kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. More parties.
All right. Moving forward then to the baptism of the Lord. When are we celebrating the baptism of the Lord and how?
So baptism of the Lord is celebrated the Sunday or the Monday after Epiphany. There's sort of a complicated history of the feast where it used to be associated with Epiphany, but there are some really great water-based traditions that go with the baptism of the Lord. You can find on YouTube, these like giant Bulgarian dudes jumping into freezing cold water, like through the ice, and to get across that the priest is thrown into the water. So our family tradition, we have a pool. So our family tradition is to jump into the pool in January. We don't last that long, and Bulgarians would not be at all impressed with us because, you know, we live in LA and it is not that cold, but it's still just a funny tradition. And again, you know, being tougher than people think you are, jumping into the cold water. But it's a great day. The baptism of the Lord is a great day to remember your godchildren and your kids' godparents. So we try to call them up and just say, hey. And my silly food that I like to do for the day is fondue, because
dipping.
Yeah. St. John the Baptist dunked Jesus in the Jordan. We dunk bread in cheese. It's a little bit of a stretch.
It's not that much of a stretch. You're going to get calls and letters, though, about whether he dunked Jesus or sprinkled there's always those controversies.
You can sprinkle your cheese if you prefer. That's okay.
Nick, our sound engineer, loves fondue, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be doing that. Are you going to be doing that now, Nick? Yep. Okay.
And then renewing our baptismal promises. Right. Again, we renew our baptismal promises around here a lot, so at least 12 times a year.
Well, keep doing it until it sticks.
Exactly. It is really great to loudly renounce Satan around the dinner table with a bunch of little kids. It's really fun.
It is cool. Very cool. Okay, so we've got the Epiphany and the baptism of the Lord coming up. I think probably Catholics are most famous for Lent. People that don't know much about us at all, they know that we give stuff up at Lent.
That's right. Yeah. And it's my understanding that Ash Wednesday is actually the second highest attended, or maybe the third highest attended mass of the year after Christmas and Easter, even though it's not a holy day of obligation. People have that understanding somewhere deep down that, you know, that we need, that we do want to make atonement. We do understand our mortality, and that somewhere deep down we understand that we need to sort ourselves out before it's too late.
Yes, right. And so even non-Catholics will go and get ashes on mm-hmm. Ash Wednesday, and I think that's okay, right? You don't have to be Catholic to get
it. It is a sacramental, not a sacrament, and so non-Catholics can partake of it. Babies, people who are under the age of reason, or we're all. It's a reminder of our mortality.
So now Lent is late this year, or pretty late. I think maybe I'm just getting used to it. It's been early for a little while, but March 6th, Lent begins. What kind of suggestions can you give us about Lent? I don't give something up. I do something positive. And we have all these different debates about Lent now.
Absolutely.
What say you, Kendra?
Well, as a person with no official authority whatsoever,
yes,
I do have thoughts on the subject. So I think that it is great to add things in, but there's all this bashing on, don't give up chocolate for Lent, do something important. But I really think that it is important to give up a food item that if you want to go old school and fast every day of Lent except Sundays, that is the traditional thing to do, which is, you know, two half meals and one full meal every weekday of Lent, you know, every day except Sunday during Lent. That would be awesome. I am probably not going to attempt that this year. But to have the idea is that the Catholic Church has always seen food as something that we can give up to grow in holiness. So even if it's just one type of food or fasting on an extra day, to do something that really that has to do with food.
Yeah. Kendra, I apologize because I didn't do my timing very well and we're at the end. But so people can find out all about this by visiting your blog, Catholic All Year, right?
And it's all in the book, yes.
And the Catholic All Year Compendium, Liturgical Living for Real Life, is the name of the book. Kendra Tierney, thanks. It was a great hour.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Happy New Year. Maybe we should get you on every quarter and you can tell us what's coming up in the liturgical year.
That'd be great. Let's do it.
Would it? Okay, I got to ask the boss. See you next time on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.